see it in the movies and the paper and the TV Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this show, and you're all welcome. This is brought to you by Watchmen for Jesus Network. Family, I want to let you know that today I'm going to wing it. I'm going to see where we're going to head today. New World Order. Don't you all tired of hearing about that? Everybody talks about the New World Order. Everybody's got a take on it. Everybody's got some kind of take about the New World Order. One thing they're leaving out, though, is the supernatural aspect to it that is the core of it. It is the core of it. There's no question about it. It's not opinion. It's fact, because it can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt of the supernatural core of this one conspiracy. That in itself should invite some attention. The atheists of this world, agnostics, those in high positions are sitting on a fence, admirals, generals, world leaders, prime ministers, presidents, and all that, they're not going to have a clue. I'm telling you right now, they don't, because of their importance in their lives, in their work. They leave out the most important part, that there is a God out there. And he's just not sitting back watching, and there's a Satan out there that certainly is not doing the same thing. It's a supernatural world that you can't see. My Bible studies have covered that this week, especially last night. Bible study last night, I gave some mechanics of it. It's based in quantum physics. It's based on a reality of this world, actually. I can tell you that, and not bat an eye. However, I don't want to ever rely on myself I don't have a problem saying that. Humans don't have a clue. We as humans only know the physical world. How can you even begin to believe or understand, to understand or think that you know what's going on? None of us do. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do is what Jesus said. That's based on the fact that we're human and we don't have the knowledge of the supernatural realm. So how can we actually form it in our minds, this concept, except through faith? And then when you see the supernatural come out in the public, i.e. poltergeist and all this stuff, that's real, you run like the dickens. Makes the hair stand on the back of your head. Just that. Can you imagine if you was able to see angels or demons? Men's hearts would fail them for fear. You see, there's a reason for everything. You know, a lot of the ones, the truth tellers of the past that have come out over the generations, Nesta Webster, William G. Carr, Anthony Sutton, Bill Cooper, many of them, going back, John Robison, 1898, titled Proofs of Conspiracy. We've all been warned. But have you noticed something? A lot of the publications, books and treatises and are not highly publicized. Imagine that. They're available. They're out there. You can find them. But they're not bestsellers. And yet they have the worth of it. I've got a book called Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, and I found the first edition. I mean, it's all worn, 1955. And it's got everything in it. And you can find it. Some people are selling it now, and it's I've got the original red backing, paperback. But it's like a bound paperback, if you will. On the market, it's worth about $500 to some people. Some people, $150. It's extremely expensive to find. Hard to find, the original. That tells you something right there. When I went on this quest to find the truth in 2006 and 7, I sought after the best books. I mean, why not? And I got like 7 of them that are collector's items and whatever. Worth a lot of money. Well, why are they worth a lot of money? Why not just $25 on a bookstore or 10 or something? Because they're telling the truth. But the kicker is, the bad guys, they have to tell you the truth too. And they because they have to put books out themselves, the Illuminati does, for their initiates to be able to read and get a hold of. And they can't just go up to I'm going to an Illuminati bookstore and pick up a book on Illuminati. So they got to put it out in the public press, but in limited quantities. You see how it works? What am I talking about? Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, 1957. It's a textbook under a guise of being a fictional book. Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley was inspiration to Bill Clinton. Signs, S-I-G-N-S, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz. That's an Illuminati textbook. So is Atlas Shrugged, Illuminati textbook. Morals and Dogma, that only 33rd degree Freemasons really know about. Because in it, as the Blue Lodge doesn't know yet, you'll find out Blue Lodge later, if you last that long, is that Lucifer is your God. That's an absolute fact. And it tells you so in Morals and Dogma. So they have the books out there for the Illuminati even. The studies are out there. I found studies tracing the microchip back to 1971. I've got the study for it. I've got the document under Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto, 1955. Emmanuel Josephson, Hard to get, too. I got the yellow hardback. Really, really hard to find. The actual document, I've got a reprint of it, of the document by Clinton Roosevelt, 1841, that was passed on to Karl Marx to plagiarize for the Communist Manifesto. About that? By Clinton Roosevelt, ancestor to FDR. I've got a reprint of it. The basis is called The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law. Humanism, human government, but a communist setup was already done for Karl Marx to plagiarize. He plagiarized it on purpose. That's not told to you in history books. I've got a copy of the darn thing right here. He was passed to Manzini. Manzini wasn't Jew. He was a Illuminati, Manzini was. Italian, German, Roman, Illuminati. It's all out there. You won't find it Hilton Head playing golf. It won't be there. William G. Carr said, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I must remain focused here. His book, Red Fog Over America, as he tried to convince people. Boy, does that sound familiar in the 1950s? He says in his book, that as, and Henry Ford was Illuminati too. Boy, he's a wacko. I'm telling you, Edison was a liar. Edison and J.P. Morgan stole the electric light and all these, yeah, absolutely, patents from Nikola Tesla, Serbian. Family, boy, we've been lied too bad. William G. Carr said, and I quote, that as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, is the amazing thing about the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Family, that is the plan I'm talking about here that Clinton Roosevelt passed on to Karl Marx partially and goes back to Adam Weishaupt, 1776. The plan for the world revolution that we're dealing with today is the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. They're real. Okay. That is, Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, is the amazing thing about the protocols. No person who studied them can deny that the conspiracy has developed exactly as those who conceived the original plans intended. And William G. Carr says, and I quote again, one clergyman with whom I discussed this matter remarked, quote the clergyman, nothing human could have been so absolutely correct, so perfect in regard to timing and purpose. You have convinced me that the international conspiracy is the conspiracy of Satan, unquote. There's no question about it. Denying it won't make it just go away. So the one thing, though, you must remember when you get into this study and research and preparing for it is there's another great truth as well. It was Edmund Burke who said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men sit back and do nothing. But the triumph of evil, we know, will never happen. But getting there, according to the book, and that book is King James Bible, lays out exactly what's going to happen. And there's no change in that. And that book was inspired by God to men who were righteous that wrote as they were inspired by the supernatural being we call God. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, bound in one book in 1611, started back since the dawn of time, the King James Bible, because it's the Word. And Jesus Christ is the Word, and He was from the beginning. So do the math on that. He's let you know His Word from the day this Word was created, given to you by the, in the King James Bible. And there's not one clergyman can refute that. They can deny whatever they want. They be wrong, can be proven wrong, without a doubt. That's why they all get mad and all bothered. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to take a different tack, famous last words, today, and see where it goes. Lord, we thank you today. We come together before you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we're praying for our brethren today, Father, for those that's enduring these tragedies of that plane crash, Lord, of the dead soldiers and Marines that's in Iraq and Afghanistan. Father, we know about these orchestration of suicides, the plane crashes, Lord, the death that's being orchestrated in the name of Satan. That, Father, you send your Holy Spirit down to comfort those and use these tragedies to take away Satan's plan. And, Father, to bring peace and hope. And, Father, the Holy Spirit to the lives of those experiencing these tragedies. That you turn it around. And bring to them the Savior, Jesus Christ, that will heal their wounds and their sorrow. Father, we pray for our other brethren that we've prayed for in the past, of their physical afflictions, Father, of their fear, to comfort them in these times and to bring families together. Father, we see an increase of attacks on children and attacks on the parents by children. We have been warned of this for the longest time, and Lord, we see it happening. We see, Father, as we pull away, the veil thins, allowing this evil to increase. Father, we know it's been given to us in prophecy before. But Father, we give us those opportunities that we can to share the gospel to those before this thing goes down, before things really kick off in the supernatural realm. And Father, you give us opportunities to witness to others. And Father, we sometimes forget. We want to thank you, those, Father, that are praying that for our infirmities, that makes us stronger, keeps us mindful of our humanness, but the human side of us. But Father, that your Holy Spirit will keep us in tow with that silver cord. Lord, you've got your hands with us and on us and protecting us to fight our battles in this supernatural realm. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to pray for others and those opportunities you've given us to help others. And Lord, to guide us loudly with that small voice inside us of the Holy Spirit guiding us in the right path. We pray, Lord, for the watchmen to come out. Give them the courage to speak out in all the aspects of of Satan's agenda and his positions, that you bring out of those positions men of God to speak out against it, to resist it to the very end, which is, Father, we know the beginning. And Father, we pray for many more opportunities in this network to spread the gospel and spread the truth. That, Father, you've given us a worldwide ministry. That, Father, we pray that you'll use it. And we pray that, Father, the Holy Spirit will spread that word. And to give us wisdom and discernment and protection to use that wisdom and discernment so we will not be distracted. To see through the deception and expose it. And Father, most importantly, to lead others to Jesus Christ with these opportunities. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I want to let you know something. I'm not a theologian. I never went to any schools of theology. I'm a former U.S. Marine. Overseas contracts after that. Saudi Arabia, Kosovo, Congo. I was in D.C. doing government contracts. Chicago doing private contracts. I've been in a couple of conflict areas that didn't turn out to be totally conflict areas, but they were potentially conflict areas. God's kept me away from a lot of stuff, a lot of situations. Protected me and others, I'll tell you. But the point is, I'm just a regular old Joe. Just happened to be placed in some high positions, but wasn't my even my doing. This network I've got, I never planned this. Not even one bit, nothing was ever planned. No book, no business plan, no laying the groundwork. I really want to be a radio broadcaster. Nothing. I mean, never even thought about it. Started 6 years ago, and I'm doing it now. About setting up a network was never my idea. Broadcasting was never my idea. I'm a security analyst, a trainer of military, law enforcement, training how to break into a building, how to handle a crowd in a situation, which I handled two of them actually. Very angry Albanians wouldn't get paid in Kosovo, and they were really ticked off. Getting ready to storm the building, I had to take care of that situation. I've been in some bad positions. I've been surrounded by terrorists before. They're on Kosovo, on the border of Serbia and Kosovo. I've been to some places. Point is, I'm just a regular old Joe, though, from a small town. I don't have a theological degree. Never wanted to be a radio broadcaster, and yet I'm doing it. What's the point? If I could do it, anybody can. I'm not out there on the corner, standing on a soapbox. Well, not yet, anyway. And when I joined the Marine Corps back in the 70s, I joined, and I hope I don't turn anybody off here, but I'll be honest with you, I've done a 180 in my life. I mean a complete and total 180. I joined the Marine Corps for one purpose, really. Well, actually, okay, we'll say two. One, to serve my country and all this and all that, because that's my duty as a Southern white country boy, raised up on biscuits and gravy, serve my country and fight those dadgum cotton-picking communists, et cetera, et cetera. And to pick on those marchers in the college that were against the war, oh, you traitor, you, I'm going to kick your own sick meow, meow, meow. That was my attitude back then, and I wanted to join the Marine Corps to serve my country, but not really. I wanted to use it as an excuse to kill people. I had anger inside me that I wanted out. I took martial arts. I've done it for 30 years now. And I had an attitude that the Marine Corps fit perfectly. I had a complete different attitude. I wanted to kill people. But I wanted to kill people that I thought needed killing. Is that stupid or what? I knew that if I went to Vietnam, which I was going to volunteer for in 72, 73, that there's a chance you're not coming back, but that's okay. You know, that's just the way it goes. That's just part of how it works. I didn't know that the wars were all set up. I didn't know that the outcome of every single war that we've ever fought in our history was already pre-planned and the outcome already determined. I didn't know that now. I didn't know that our leaders at the highest level were secret society members. They were working for the Vatican. I didn't know that. Had no idea that we were being used as pawns in a game of which there's no way possible that they'd have won or succeeded in the Korean War. Not possible. Or the Vietnam War, because our own Joint Chief of Staff, our own leadership, were working with the Council of Foreign Relations against us, making sure we did not win by design. Y'all understand the impact of what I'm saying here? And then you go on to see the graves? Now that should really anger some of you retired generals and colonels. That all that study you did as lieutenants, command staff college, maneuver, firepower, resupply, demand, BAMKIS, SMEAC, situation, mission execution, command signal. I'll say it real quick. But your maneuver, fire maneuver, superior firepower, learned the principles of Sun Tzu and all this other, was never going to work. Never meant to. All that training, all that learning, all those wars, Vietnam and all the rest, were for nothing. That makes me mad. That all your tactics would never work because it's pre-planned that you would lose. And our troops be sacrificed and targeted. And this is a provable fact. That should make you kind of sit back and say, whoa, what's going on here? But does it really? Well, it caused me to think about it when I started connecting the dots and seeing the quotes, dates, names, and their actual quotes even today. I played that yesterday and the day before. That turns the whole thing upside down, inside out, of what we're learning. All the maneuvering that Chesty Puller did, all the maneuvering that George Patton did, was for nothing. The determination of the war was already made. When they couldn't make America, our own government, working with Britain and Germany, working together, and Japan, did you know that? Because we're all of the elite secret societies. Working together, they were to make the world a new world order in 1945. They failed. But they just readjusted it and brought the Nazis over here. 10,000 to be exact. And just continued on. Just like that. Just like that. And when Japan failed to continue the attack on Pearl Harbor, when they realized the aircraft carriers weren't there, because somebody on one side said, nope, we know what's going on, let's move the carriers out. And they did. Yamamoto said, uh-oh. He said, I'm out of here. So he stopped the attack, so that screwed that up. All they've done, listen to me, all they've done then is they have targeted Japan for that mistake that went against the New World Order, and Japan paid for it later. And you all know how that happened. Well, all they've done is replace Japan with China. That's all. That's all they did. That's why Clinton and Carter were working with China through Costco to bring him in Long Beach Naval Base and move out of the Panama Canal with a treaty that Carter, that Luciferian, he worships Lucifer. He's a lying Christian. He ain't no Christian. Jimmy Carter, look at his, he's a liar, man. These people are so evil. Your mind cannot comprehend it. I got to keep reminding me that smile he's got, that it makes me angry sometimes to see how they fool people. It's just egregious. These are all facts. He signed a treaty knowing very well it was a movement, a strategy, to pull out of, little by little, pull out of the Panama Canal back in the 70s, late 70s. And the treaty was designed so we'd pull out of Vietnam, out of Panama Canal, little by little. And when you pull out a major power, like the USA colony, yeah, that leaves a vacuum for the jobs of the Panamanians. Because you had, working there on the bases. They knew that. You got a vacuum. You got unemployment. No problem. That's how the Chinese came in as a partnership. Look it up right now. The Li family, Li family. That is Illuminati in China. And every country has a criminal cartel that's used as deniability, plausible deniability, carries out the evil, working with the intelligence services. All through the world, it's this way. And the Vatican pulls the strings. But the Vatican is controlled, yeah, by the Italian and German Illuminati insiders, Breakspear, Aldo Brandini, Chagi. I mentioned them many times before. John Coleman and Springmeier, who's went against the Bible. I have to mention that because he is controlled opposition. Springmeier is. No doubt about that. I got a quote directly from him when he banned me from his. It surprised me. They're anti-King James, which now puts in question their true loyalties. Rob Sheba and Springmeier. But they've got good information about the New World Order. So the hook is anti-King James. Oh, I love the King James Bible. But you know, it's not perfect. That's how they do it. You see, they hook it like that. Well, I use the King James Bible. I used it for 25 years and all this. And there's some mistakes in it, which there's not. They always throw that's what their hook is. They all got their hook and assignment. However, their knowledge of the Illuminati, which is the hook, that's the worm to pull you in, is good. So I call it eat the chicken, spit out the bones. And John Coleman, he has a good presentation of the insider Illuminati, the Italian Illuminati, the Roman Illuminati. Not the Jews. They don't control it. Now, I realize that some of these new people on my channel right now are saying, what's he talking about? If you do the research, I just, you know, everything I say, it's like a new language for people that is not dealt with this New World Order research. Each thing I talk about is in itself a study. It's like a new language for people that's just getting into it. It's scary for some people. But right now, they're in control of the world. Royal families, pre-planned wars, with the outcome already determined. Control of nations, not by war. They do the war to establish debt. The debt controls the nation. The wars establish the mafia strong arm, no different than a section of New York, downtown Brooklyn, that has the mafias coming by collecting the protection money from the different businesses. Same, it's exactly the same thing. Each business, yeah, okay. Each business is like a country. And the mafia is like the New World Order, the Illuminati, the bankers that's controlled by the inside Illuminati. It's not the bankers. The bankers are shoeshine boys. People like Eric Holder and Obama and all these people in these positions are a dime a dozen, man. They can replace them with a phone call. Boom, just like that. The ones they can't replace are the kings and queens of this world. That's the power structure. Not presidents and prime ministers. Not Putin. Not any prime minister in this world. And not control of anything. But do what they're told to do or be replaced. Very simple. Very easy. Because there's Illuminati in Russia. Ginsburg. Whoa. Hey, that rings up a little balloon, don't it? Every country's got a royal family. Every country's got Illuminati. And you know what? These Illuminati families, European, Italian, German, can trace their bloodline back to the pharaohs of Egypt, literally. Yeah, because the pharaohs of Egypt migrated to Europe. They became the insider Illuminati. They carried this from generation to generation. That's what's going on today. They plan the wars for control purposes and human sacrifice. to say the least, wholesale on sales, on souls. This is what's really going on today. Everything else is preparing our minds to accept it. Everything. Well, my broadcasts are not for the faint at heart, I have to tell you. I mean, for me, this is just normal conversation. I've done this so long. And every time I think I've got a handle on it, no way. There's always another curveball coming my way. It's a humbling experience. There's always something else connected you didn't know before. Always. But I know the end. I know the new war coming is World War III. I know who's going to win it. And I know what's going to happen after. It's written in the book. Isaiah, Daniel, and Revelation. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's already written down. It's already told. And everything else happened. As it says it's going to happen in the Old Testament from Daniel. The empires. He predicted. In a dream given to Nebuchadnezzar, as documented, he interpreted a dream of events that was going to happen 2,500 years in the future and happened exactly like he said. As history confirms. That's amazing. Nostradamus, Edward Casey, Gene Dixon, all them, they're frauds and fakes. They are, in fact, we're in fact of the satanic realm, satanic connections of the occult. So their predictions can come close, but no banana. Because Satan and his minions can only do so much that God will say, he shuts them down. He allows them certain reign to carry through to the fulfill the scriptures. But he keeps them under control. So you out there that follow him, y'all been placated, man. And I'll tell you something, your leader, Satan, and the ones know I'm talking to, is already determined to lose. And that kind of leaves you out in the dark, so to speak. Because there's no way possible. Mankind can ever think about defeating the supernatural. It's impossible. Mankind's nothing more of a mere puppet. So your kings and queens of this world, every single one, are nothing more, and the Pope, are nothing more than mere slaves of the fallen angels. Now, that may turn some of you off, but I can prove it and show you. I can give you the names of them, fallen angels, the ones that's involved. And they are going to make their public appearance. It's called externalization of the hierarchy. They got to prepare mankind to accept them. And that date is set, according to them, in the year 2025. But that's according to how God lets it lay out or how you pray to extend it. Their times and dates are dependent upon what God allows it to happen. But right now it's documented the year 2025. So that means they have to condition each generation to accept once again, as in the days of Noah, these fallen angels into this physical realm. That's what's really going on. Now, some of you that are atheists or some of you don't believe in the supernatural or Christians that don't understand this may be turned off by what I said, but that's the fault of the churches because the churches aren't teaching about the physical, the supernatural realm that is the controller as man allows. But they can only go as far as God will allow. The end result is a new world order, but for a very short period of time. And it will be endure seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of judgment. And it will be destroyed. And those who follow it will will also be destroyed. You have to know the truth. Calling for the watchman to come out to start speaking. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Because the time's coming soon when you'll be called to come out and start talking. And it won't be easy. But I think the watchman, you know who you are. Some of you are holding back. Pray for the opportunity to come. You've got to give that opportunity. Well, family, things are happening in this world fast, really fast. Time seems like it's speeding up. And you watch the news, and it gives you indicators of where we are. Because they have to print. They have to put out there the truth in front of your face. They have to do that. What's coming up next? Not necessarily there's an order per se, but is what's coming up is the euthanasia. They got to allow for people to kill themselves. That's what it's called. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. As weird as it sounds, that's what's laying the groundwork. Family, there was a crash in the Alps recently, of course. If you notice, on that crash of that relatively small plane, passenger plane, was a representation of almost every country, just about, in the NATO, in the UN. Had 16 children on there. Plane just went right down to the ground. It must have had such tremendous energy coming down that parts of it just flew off. And you see it scattered all over the countryside. Well, now, isn't that the same thing that happened in Pennsylvania in 911? So, where is the pieces of the plane of that one? Oh. And how about that big old airliner that that Arab terrorist with box cutters flew right above the ground, airliner, right into a window at the Pentagon? Do you believe that? Come on now. Where's the pieces? All over the Pentagon and Washington. Where are they? Where are they? They wasn't at the Pentagon. Come on now. That was a missile fired by our own government. Oh, the other governments are bad as well. Because I just explained 30, 40 minutes ago how that works. I'm not just anti-American government and all that silly mess. I'm anti-New World Order. I'm anti-Lucifer and the secret societies, whole big time, that controls them worldwide, you see. I'm not going to that. We got to rise up and fight this evil government in America and all this other silly garbage that is being brought up to fire up the patriots and all that stuff. Because they're setting them up. Patriots are setting you up. You're being lied to by people inside your own groups. That's a given. You are infiltrated and you have undercover agents there, FBI, that's not trying to report you. They're trying to fire you up. Trying to fire you up so you will march against, that you will perform acts of terror against your own homeland. That's what they're there for, your undercover agents. Yeah, they're there. Well, this plane that went down, scattered all over this countryside, man. Scattered all over the countryside. Was a human sacrifice for something. Now, I've been explaining in the Bible studies about the supernatural aspects of quantum physics and how the supernatural actually works, how demons operate, how the technology actually cooperates with them. I've explained that in pretty much detail. Somehow in the what's called negative energy of death, of pain, torture, human sacrifice, this negative energy is absorbed by these fallen angels for manifestation. It's alchemy. It's real. Satan demands human sacrifice for those to advance to the next level. Katie West and all these other singers and rappers and country music and whatever that are making international acclaim and international acclaim and top 40s and all that family, they admit even, many of them admit that they took Satan as their savior, Satan accepted Satan as their leader, swore an oath to Satan in blood. They admit this. They admit it themselves. Beyonce has one she calls Sasha Fierce. Katy Perry admits it. Beatles admitted it. I mean, they all come clean. The Rolling Stones singers, some of them, admit they gave their life to Lucifer to make it in the singing business. Same thing for the actors and actresses. Well, here's my point. Some of them have also admitted that if they knew, were told, and they executed it, that a family member had to die in order for them to advance to the next level. It's kind of the same thing when you join a gang, say, and say, well, you're going to prove your loyalty. You got to go out there and kill somebody. Who? I don't care. We don't care who. Just pick somebody and go kill them. Or bring something from your home that's very valuable. We can sell it. They want you to show your loyalty. Well, it's no different. It follows the same strategy. Someone must die for that singer, songwriter, dancer, actor, actresses, or sports star that's signed their name over to blood to Lucifer. Someone has to die in their family. Now think back of the actresses and actors who have committed suicide would help a family member advance to the next level. Oh boy, that should open up a whole lot of eyes. Family, these are facts. So the hockey team for Russians, the whole plane was wiped out. The Russians had operations going on to advance the next level. America, too. Well, they're all like that. This plane went down for some reason. Sometimes we won't know the reason. But right now, we're very close to going to the next level, the New World Order. Those fallen angels must gather this negative energy to channel. The Wesak Festival is a place where these fallen angels gather and establish new initiates in May of this year. I'll be preaching out against that Wesak. Nobody talks about it. I do. People don't realize what that really is. They have no idea. They're gathering together their ability to manifest, to start passing out the instructions to make things happen for the New World Order. Well, these human sacrifices releases that energy. So can you imagine a plane that's up there and it starts to crash? Because they said the guy now locked the door when the pilot left, the experienced pilot left. He waited for the moment he could lock the door, the co-pilot, and he started the descent. And then the pilot of that crash in the Alps came back and, like, knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. And he started beating the door and started breaking it in. He couldn't get in as the plane started its descent. What looked like maybe a nosedive or something of that nature. It must have been so great that the plane fell apart. Or there was an explosion. Something. Because parts were found 2 or 3 miles away. That means that it broke apart in the air. And the co-pilot, when they got the box of, listened to the recordings in the plane, black boxes, said he was breathing normal. So he was calmly. That means he was under some kind of hypnosis. There's no way a human would have normal breathing. In a situation you could be, that's life-threatening, or where you're getting ready to make a major decision that's going to cause you to lose your life or something very dramatic, there's two things that's going to happen. One of two things. One is your breathing will be fast and shallow, like that. Or it's going to be no breathing because you hold your breath because of fear. But calm breathing, that's under some kind of hypnosis or possession. Somebody on that plane had to die. Or the 16 children had to be sacrificed. I don't know. But that was definitely a human sacrifice effort in France. And France has had some interesting issues here lately, haven't they? It's not normal in France. Conflicts. Terrorist attacks. All of the seven heads of Daniel's prophecy formed up as a marching in solidarity in France with a picture. Family, that picture showing Merkel and all the others was the seven heads of the apocalypse. The New World Order, the revived Roman Empire was in France, marching in solidarity against ISIS, against Islamic fundamentalism and all that sort of thing. Well, what the French doesn't know is that the leaders that were there are the ones that's allowing the terrorist attacks by using their own secret societies and their own intelligence agencies. What a bunch of hypocrites the world leaders are. They all formed together. The silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. To let you know we're all together against you. That's what that really was saying. Because they control. So they're there marching with all those French people. And inside them, as their world leaders are arm in arm, knowing that they were the ones that set these attacks off to allow it to happen. That's beyond evil. Oh, by the way, a little research project for you. Put the name Merkel in your search bar and just play with it a little bit and put a little plus sign there and put Adolf Hitler. Ooh, and watch what happens. Go ahead and do it. Just play with it a little bit. And just start checking out there, huh? So which ones work together very quickly? I'll tell you exactly which ones. Where's the Lord taking me today? I don't know where he's taking me today. He's telling me to tell you a lot of things in my heart. And I'm going with it. In the United States, you got the CIA that works for the Vatican. And the Vatican works for the Illuminati. The FBI that's going to be eliminated. So you can't tell an FBI agent this today. He won't believe you yet. But the FBI will not be needed when the North American Union is formed. Won't need you anymore. And the good FBI agents that are there to make a difference and all that, they will take you out. Openly. They'll just take you out. The FBI agents that are part of the Luciferian agenda will turn you in. It will happen. NSA. Now in Russia, you got the KGB. In Israel, fake Israel today, is Mossad. All these work together. And in Germany, what's called the BND, Bravo November Delta. And in France, the DGSE, Delta Golf Sierra Echo, is a intelligence services in France. And then in Britain, MI5, MI6, SIS. Man, all these work together. The Communist Party leaders, Interpol, Europol, they're all connected. The drug cartel heads are the ones they use for plausible deniability. the mafia, organized crime in every country. FEMA is our shadow government. Pakistan Intelligence Services, ISI, Iranian Intelligence, Saudi Intelligence, Turkish Intelligence. They all work together and share information. So this thing about us hiding information, top secret and all that from the Russians is a bunch of baloney. It's to hide the truth from the public and those that don't have the classification of their own co-workers, soldiers, government service employees. Family, 1966-67, there was a report came out, was never to be released to the public. It's called the Iron Mountain Report. Now that in itself, if you did a thorough job and shortened, would take about 6 or 8 hours, about 4 or 5 broadcasts, to cover the whole darn thing in enough detail to make sense of it. But the Iron Mountain Report on the possibility and desirability of peace. Don't let the word peace let you go, gosh, that's wonderful. We would love to have peace. This peace they're talking about is a new world order controlled by the Luciferian agenda. They're causing the wars to make you want peace. When you get the peace they're going to give you, they're going to microchip you. And they're going to kill off those people that's against it, that think on their feet. And you all in law enforcement and military are individuals. You think on your feet. They don't want that. They want that now because they're using you. Hence, 26 suicides per day of our veterans. That's being orchestrated by technology, psychotropic drugs, and hypnosis through voice-to-skull technology. I've talked about this many, many, many times. This Iron Mountain Report Albert Pike, between 1871, wrote a letter to Manzini on establishing control of the 20th century by wars. Oh, yeah. Remember, I told you it's all pre-planned. Letter was removed after the Rothschilds purchased the London Museum and took a letter that was on display. They removed that letter from Albert Pike to Manzini, detailing 3 world wars that went exactly as planned, except the Second World War did not accumulate into the New World Order they had planned. They just, and I explained this already an hour ago. We just brought the Nazi movement over here. Well, it detailed plans for world government between 1871. He projected 3 world wars, a series of revolutions that was to accumulate into a world government after World War III, at least, which carried the agenda from Adam Weishaupt, 1776 to 1870. Albert Pike continued the plan from 1870 to 1945. And by then they knew there would be 2 world wars, which happened. They set it up already with the outcome already determined. And they knew the 3rd world war, the last one planned, had to be between Islam and Zionism. Now, Zionism was not even created in 1870. Oh. But they had planned on creating Zionism after 1871, because I found out in microfiche and research out of microfiche, I mean, I had to go looking outside the internet, that in 1885 began the anti-Jew movements. And the anti-Jew movements in 1885, set up by the Vatican, Jesuits, led to the creation of Zionism in 1897 by Theodore Herzl, right along the program. After all, the Vatican created Islam as a religion in the 6th century, 6th or 7th century, to control the Arabs. Yes, sir, that didn't accept Roman Catholicism. They created a religion for them that they controlled. That's why there's so much similarities between Islam and the Roman Catholic Church that y'all don't know about. Because people don't take the time to compare the two. You'd be surprised how much connected Islam and Roman Catholicism really is. The Muslim Brotherhood, the radical part of Islam, was created in 1920s by Al-Banna. I call him Al-Banna. Al-Banna, and I found out he was a Freemason, Egyptian Freemason. Bingo. So, Zionism, to ferret out the Hebrew Jews, liquidate Jewish wealth, as said by Theodore Herzl in his diary. The most Islamic Wahhabi radical Islam was created in 1920s to destroy Islam from inside. That's what you're dealing with today. Controlled by the secret societies. You see how it works? Order out of chaos. So after the fake war, the Cold War of communism ended, well, it really didn't end, in 1987, immediately they kicked off the next threat was Islamic fundamentalism. By 1990s, that started in Afghanistan. It was already set up in 1970s with Afghanistan, Russians, with the KGB and CIA working together. Then they moved them to Bosnia. You know the rest of the story. Family, this is all set up. I've traced it every bit. I got names and dates and connections and everything. It's amazing. One threat after another, Nazism, communism, right along the way, Islam fundamentalism. One right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Always wars to keep you off track. Always wars to set up the plan that Adam Weishaupt had started and carried on to Manzini after Weishaupt died. Clinton Roosevelt, 1841. Albert Pike, 1871 to 1945, he had plans projecting revolutions and three world wars. So the reason they haven't eliminated Islamic fundamentalism long ago, when they could have many times, as said by Ace yesterday on the interview, but because they need Islam and Zionism for World War III yet to happen, the real one, that is, which leads to the New World Order once and for all, as planned by Albert Pike back in 1871. Y'all see how this works? And by rules of engagement, all along the way, the Vatican, the Illuminati, has controlled every war to make sure their plans has at least worked basically the way they've set it up. World War II, to set up the fake Israel, still a colony of England, and many other reasons for it as well. And if we get New World Order then, okay, fine, but they didn't. See how it works? Is that clear as mud? Well, anyway, I hope it was in succession that you'd understand. Which pill did you take, the red or blue pill, is really the question. The airline sacrifice is just one of many to come. A big one's coming in April, 17th of April, 23rd, in the middle. Put it on your calendar. Something big's coming in April. It always does every year. Because April 19th is a blood sacrifice day. And I'm going to talk about that later on in April. I'll cover it. But you can do it yourself. Look up April 19th and all the disasters that happened on April the 19th. Variants of 2 or 3 days after and before. Unbelievable. It's all because of blood sacrifice to achieve their objectives in the supernatural. Report from Iron Mountain, 1966-67, was never to be released to the public as ordered by LBJ, but it was by an engineer that was a member of this group. Now, I'm not going to go in complete detail with it. I'm just going to touch upon it to let you know what's really been set up. They knew back in 1909, Carnegie Peace Foundation, that the best way to control people, it took them a year to figure this out, was by war. Now, they knew the wars were already set up. But the main question was how to control people. How to control people in the time of peace. That was going to be a problem. So the idea was, we're going to have a period of peace after World War II until such time that we can establish World War III and finally get the New World Order that we want. So we got to figure out a way that's going to put a threat upon the people that will equal war in 5 different areas that will control them until we can have our World War III. Now, that's extremely simple explanation of the Iron Mount Report on the possibility and desirability of peace. And when there's peace, that lull of wars, war wars, how do we control these people, keep them in step? And that was the basic question of it. Now, Zbigniew Brzezinski talks about before it was easier to control 1 million people. But because now they've become politically awakened, it's easier to kill 1 million people. And that's what they set out to do. Suicide, psychotropic drugs, HPV vaccine, oh yeah. Cancers. All kinds of ways to kill off populations. Disease. HIV was created for Dietrich, Maryland. You got that right? That's a fact. To kill off populations without them knowing about it. So now it's easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control them. Controlling was easy back then. But now it's not because people are politically awakened. For example,
that for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is
great. The lethality of their power is talking about, and I'll continue it here in a minute. I want to make sure you understand the context. It's talking about the globalists, how lethal they are. But they're challenged by something else. Here we go.
Greater than ever. Their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
He said that publicly. So now to control a million people, to control a country, the Iron Mountain Report had to be formed in the 60s until World War III could finally be brought about by strengthening Islam and bringing the Jews to the forefront, the Zionists, which are fake Jews anyway, and have them fight a war with China, Russia, America, NATO on one side, other side against each other, until all of them, when this happens, will fight to complete exhaustion. And that's when Europe, the revived Roman Empire, will emerge as a world power and the only one. This is how it's supposed to work. But in the meantime, we got to control these people until we can have this war. Well, they formed the Iron Mountain Report, and Kennedy set it up. But somewhere along the way, he decided to take everything down. Lincoln, the same thing, for a different reason. He was going to pull away from the popery, back our money by silver. The Masons and the Jesuits had to kill Lincoln. He wasn't a Mason, too, by the way. And JFK, the same thing. JFK, 63, but FDR took us off the gold standard. And lickety-split Nixon took us off the silver standard. Both of them are totally evil individuals. Well, Kennedy's going to put us back on the silver standard. They had to kill him, too. A lot of other things. He's going to take down the CIA, get rid of the Federal Reserve, stop the fake Jews from building the nuclear facility in Dimona, pull troops out of Vietnam. He was going to dismantle the whole thing. But see, the president, in reality, does not have that power. The facade is as he does. It's a facade. He's going to exercise that facade. So instead of having to explain, well, Kennedy, you really can't do that to the public. They used him as a sacrifice. He was Illuminati brought in. The whole family was. Well, this 1960s Iron Mountain Report was to find ways they can control the public worldwide, but mainly the United States, in the time of peace. So you wouldn't lose control of the public until such time that a war could be established. So the Iron Mountain Commission was created, an old bunker up in New York. And the 15 members, engineers of this report, was locked down in there. And one of them had a little case of conscience that he had to get this out. So he approached and made a secret meetings with Leonard Lewin. That over a period of time, he revealed what was going on. They weren't always locked down. Somehow he was able to meet with this guy on a regular basis and relate to him all that was going on. Once it was published, they tried to pull it back in. But they couldn't pull him back in. So what they did was, had to retract it, said this is a hoax, ha ha, we're just kidding. You know, that kind of thing. Plausible deniability. Well, members of this meeting, one was a historian and political theorist who served in the government. Another one was professor of international law, consultant on government operations. Number three, we'll call him, was an economist, social critic, and biographer. Then, of course, you had the one that was relating the information. The next one was a sociologist, involved in public affairs. Another one was a cultural anthropologist. Another one was a psychologist, educator, and developer of personal testing systems. Another one was a psychiatrist, and he conducted extensive studies of relationship between individuals and group behavior. Another one was a scholar, a literary critic. Another one was a physical chemist, whose work had received international recognition at the highest level. Another one was a biochemist, who had made important discoveries bearing on reproductive processes. Another one was a mathematician, who was affiliated with an independent West Coast research institution. Another one was an astronomer, physicist, and communications theorist. Another one was a systems analyst, war planner, and he had written extensively on war, peace, and international relations. And the last one was an industrialist who had undertaken many special government assignments. And they'd meet on the average of once a month, usually on weekends, usually for 2 days. Some sessions were longer, one that lasted 4 hours. They met all over the country, always at a different place, except for the first and last time, which were at Iron Mountain. It says it's kind of like a traveling seminar, sometimes at hotels, sometimes at universities. Twice they'd met at summer camps and once in a private estate in Virginia. I wonder where that might have been. They used a business place in Pittsburgh, another one in Poughkeepsie, New York. They never met in Washington or on government property anywhere. And one of them, one of the individuals, would announce the time and places about two meetings ahead. They were never changed. They didn't have any subcommittees. Anything else as formal. They all took out individual assignments between meetings, and a lot of it involved getting information from other people. And when they got together, they pulled it together. Among the 15 of them, nobody was in the academic or professional world you wouldn't call on if you wanted to. They took advantage of it. They were paid a modest per diem. All of it were expenses on the vouchers. And they were told not to report it on the tax returns. And the checks were drawn on a special account of one individual's at the New York bank. He signed them. He didn't know what the study cost exactly, Lewin was told. So it could have been come to more than a low six-figure range. But the big item was the computer time. He had no idea how high that ran. That's what happened for about a long time, about a year, I guess. And you know, there was such a thing as objectivity. He said, I don't say no one had any emotional reaction to what we were doing. We all did, to some extent, he said, quote, as a matter of fact, two members had heart attacks after we were finished. I'll be the first to admit it. It probably wasn't a coincidence. Unquote. Now, there's more about this, and I probably could talk about this more next week. I've been thinking about it in more detail. But I'm just touching upon it today about what they did. So, the idea of this Iron Mountain report was to find ways to control people in the event of peace and desirability of peace. And what's not covered in the book and report is that about, a year before 61, there was a group of 10 MBA candidates, if you will, in Harvard that laid the groundwork for it and didn't even know it. And they used that as kind of a starting point. They thought it was a joke about having peace. We want you all to figure out what would happen if we had peace, total peace. They thought it was a joke. So they said, oh, yeah, sure. So these Harvard graduates began brainstorming a setup for the Iron Mountain Report. How to control people now, since we have peace. What do? Now, this is during the Vietnam War, keep in mind. Because they knew the Vietnam War was going to end eventually. And they knew it was going to end in defeat. Even though our soldiers and Marines fought bravely, they'd already planned for us to be defeated in Vietnam and pull out in 1975. Nixon was one evil individual, like LBJ and all the rest of them, of our so-called presidents. And the same thing goes for every other country as well. But in any case, when we pull out of Vietnam, we have to put these plans into effect, beginning in 1975. And by the way, 1975, oh, that's a big year, was the beginning of the third phase of the New Age movement that started the first phase, Helena Blavatsky, 1871. Interesting date, huh? Alice Bailey, 1919, second phase. And the third phase was Michael Aquino, who still today works at the Pentagon, who's a Satanist, like his inspirator, like an aspirator, Anton LaVey. Works in your Pentagon, Michael Aquino, MK Ultra, mind control, founder of the Temple of Set, invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975, under ritual and human sacrifice. Works in your Pentagon. Works in your Pentagon. Anyway, 1975 would begin a period of peace, focused on developing the Islamic fundamentalist threat. So, in a time of peace, how do we control people? Well, first you decide what are the functions of war. So the visible military function of war requires no elucidation. It is not only obvious, but also irrelevant to a transition to a condition of peace. And so the subsidiary in social significance is non-military functions of war to control people. And these critical transition has five groupings that they talked about. Now you're going to be shocked when I tell you what areas they're using to control you today, to keep you busy. As discussed in the Iron Mount Report, have been put in full fledge. Michael Aquino learned from Anton LaVey. Michael Aquino has a lot to do with the mind control of our military and how they're taking them out by suicide and control, while we're being handled by these functions of war. And I'll explain what those are. Number one, in war, the functions of war is economic. You see, war has provided ancient and modern societies with a dependable system to stabilize and control the national economics and the economies. Military-industrial complex goes back to Samuel Bush, handful of other Luciferians, in 1915. It evolved into the military-industrial complex. War Industries Board is what's called War Industries Board, 1915. Just another name for the military-industrial complex, as warned by President Eisenhower as he left office. That was sneaky of him, wasn't it? There's no alternate method of control has yet been tested in some kind of modern economy that's shown itself remotely comparable in scope or effectiveness as economic conditions. Number two is political, obviously. And the permanent possibility of war is the foundation for stable government. And what it does, you see, It supplies the basis for general acceptance of political authority. War does. So they need a replacement that's going to do the same thing. A replacement. So they got to establish the functions of war first. And then find a replacement until they can have another war. You see how it works? A replacement for it. And war, politically, has enabled societies to maintain necessary class distinctions. It's ensured a subordination of the citizen to the state. War Powers Act, National Defense Authorization Act, martial law. See how it works? And they can justify it by establishing a war, a false flag, attack on 911, you see, a flu pandemic, something that they can use to declare martial law. No modern political ruling group has successfully controlled its constituencies after failing to sustain continuing credibility for an external threat of war. Political stands. Number three function of war is sociological. And you know that war through the medium of military institutions has actually, in a very unique way, served societies throughout history. It's controller of dangerous social dissidents, destructive antisocial tendencies, justifies killing, murder, rape. It says the formidable threats of life itself and plays a heavy role in obtaining social allegiance, social cohesion. So no other institution or groups of institutions in all modern societies has served these functions. So we got economic function of war, political function of war, sociological function of war, ecological, global warming, ecological. You see, in a war is a principal evolutionary device to keep an even-based ecological balance between gross human population and supplies available for its survival. Concentration camps, FEMA camps, sewage, water, food, etc. It's unique to the human species. So that's the function of war, is ecological. Five and last, cultural and scientific functions of war. You see, in this category, war orientation has actually determined the basic standards of value in the creative arts, has actually provided a motivational source of scientific, technological progress used to control people. And even the concepts that the arts express values independent of their own forms, and that the successful pursuit of knowledge was intrinsic to actually the social values. So now they established these five functions of war, a very basic beginning. And with their expertise that I sort of listed, they begin work at finding substitutes until another war could be established, a world war, to control you, control me, like Zbigniew Brzezinski was talking about, to a non-political awaken, a dumbed-down society on drugs, on politics, on movies, TV, and rock and roll. All kinds of things. Vietnam War that was going to end to keep us busy with everything else. How to do it? Well, here's what they did. They came up with substitution for the functions of war to keep us busy. And they had two possible exceptions that were essential to any kind of this stable social organization that might survive in a warless war, a world of peace. And discussion of the ways and means of this transition from war to peace are meaningless unless the substitute institutions can be devised to fill these functions. Or, number two, it can reasonably be made a hypothetical situation that the loss or partial loss of any function that I've mentioned need not destroy the viability of any future societies that they're planning up. Now, in each one of these, specifically, they must be characterized. An acceptable economic surrogate of economic control for the war system would require the expenditure of resources for non-productive purposes at a level comparable to that of a military expenditure. And such a substitute system of apparent waste must be of a nature that will permit it to remain independent of the normal supply and demand of economy. The political, number two, was political substitute for war. It's got to have a generalized external menace to each society of a degree and nature to require the organization and acceptance of political authority. Hence, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, militia extremists, white supremacists, you just name it, anti-abortionists. You getting the idea? Liberalism. You got to have an external menace to each society. Must be established. Is this starting to dawn on anybody right now? The purpose of KKK, the purpose of Black Panthers, they're both are controlled by the same group. They don't even know that. Patriot groups. Tea Party. Now you getting it? False flags. That's what we're talking about. Number three, sociological control and function. In the permanent absence of war, new institutions must be developed that will effectively control the socially destructive segments of societies. Family. They did that in the Rome, in the gladiators, when they killed Christians by the lines, sacrifice, killing in the Colosseums of blood. We want to see blood. We want to see blood. Same thing. There is no difference. Not a lick. Nothing has changed, just the means have. For purposes of adapting the physical and psychological dynamics of human behavior, and this to the needs of social organization, you had to have a credible substitute for war, had to generate an omnipresent and understood fear of personal destruction. I got to cause you to fear for your life so I can control you. And this fear must be of a nature and degree sufficient to ensure that you will adhere to social values fully to transcend the value of individual human life. Exploding up at the marathon, played out, Sandy Hook, false flag, Ralph Merrill building, 9-1-1. Y'all getting the idea? Ecological substitute for war. This function as a unique system of population control must ensure the survival if not necessarily improvement, of the species in terms of environmental supply. Hence, Gore, a family member of Bush, a family member of Clinton, Gore and global warming, global pollution. We're all going to die because we're going to die from CO2. We're going to die from being heated over. We're going to die from the pollution here, pollution there, global warming. That's what that's all about. Goes right back to the Iron Mountain Report. Old Gore is just doing what he's told to do, just like a little boy that he is. Told to do what to do by the Jesuits or he'll die. They will kill him dead. That's what's going on today. To show you that we're killing ourselves from the pollution and all this. And they have on purpose, from train wrecks that they have orchestrated, to pollute the land to show you that we need these functions. They've done it by design. The industrialists are Illuminati. DuPont is Illuminati. Now you got it? See how it works? Purposely polluting the land to justify these effects, these results. And folks put in for lawsuits that looks like it's benevolent is really only highlighting the substitute for war, for the ecological function. Well, it kind of takes the air out of the balloon, don't it? And number five, cultural and scientific functions. They need to find a surrogate for the function of war, a determinant of cultural values, to establish a basis of social moral conflict, a substitute motivational basis for the quest of scientific knowledge. This one is very difficult in the cultural and scientific. Now, to give you what they came up with is going to shock you. Set up in 1966, 1967, and when this report was done, they went after it. So everything I want to mention to you, you're not going to like it, because it affects your life today. And they found the substitutes for war that they put into effect. Now, I could really irritate you and say, well, we'll continue this tomorrow. But I can't do that, because I got 30 more minutes to go. Oh, well, you got a sense of humor every now and then. We're not supposed to give some kind of advertisement right now and say, well, we'll see y'all tomorrow, and that way you're going to come back and all that. No, I'm not going to do that. Family, I have to do this thing sometimes because I get a little irritated when I read these things. And when I try to analyze them myself, I got to get into them. My degree is in sociology, psychology. I have an MBA. I spend my time doing this. I could be doing something else. I could do a lot of other things. I've had positions that got close to six figures as security manager. Some not. Others I have. High-level position in Saudi Arabia, in Kosovo, and the Congo. State Department, OSCE, UN. Government contractors in real-world situation in Saudi. We were under threat. And I went over there, set up the security. Also, Kuwait. I forgot to tell you about that one. I established the security for Kuwait after the military pulled out in 1994. I was the one that set up the security of civilian security, armed contractors, take the place of military. I did that from scratch. I was the one that did it. I've been there. I could have got my CPP and work a job, $90,000 a year, $100,000 easy. I do this now because I don't see the use of the other. Because I learned about this, I said, man, this it's all canned. I'm going to tell you what they've done. They put into effect in 1966, 67, when this project was finished, they set forth immediately economic substitutes for war. To control you, they put their engineers and their minions and contacts to work, trained, funded. Economic, they had to develop a comprehensive social welfare program directed toward maximum improvement of general conditions of life, social welfare, food stamps, disability, everything they could find to put you under control of the government. Later to lead up to a national ID card, which they never accomplished yet, and to a microchip. So for economic control, they came up with a social welfare program. That's what that's all about. That's the only purpose of it. 1960s. Number two, under economic, they had to develop a giant open-end space research program that was, I quote, aimed at unreachable targets. They knew they couldn't go to Mars, they couldn't go to the moon with humankind. They couldn't do that, go to Venus and all that nonsense. Yet they put out the, they got people already signed up to go to Venus. Lord have mercy. They must have never had a science class in their life. You can't do that, they'll never live past the Van Allen belt. They used the Von Braun. NASA is a nest of Freemasons. They take a blood oath. The astronauts are liars. They're Freemasons. A Hollywood program was our space program. They cannot go past the Van Allen belt, or they will cook like a goose in your microwave oven. How these people at NASA live with themselves, I don't know. Spending billions and billions of dollars, and that money could be used in other ways. But to fool the public economically. And not only that, but to set you up for the extraterrestrial menace that's yet to show. That was the main purpose of NASA. Notice they ended it, right? They never intended to continue it. They sacrificed those astronauts, Columbia. They needed some reason to stop it. You're dealing with total evil your minds cannot conceive of. Social welfare program, a space research program, they're under Freemasons' blood oath not to tell the truth. So you never get it from NASA. Number three under economic, a permanent ritualized, ultra-elaborate disarmament inspection system. Invariants to disarm you. Disarm countries. At every level. Gun control. That's what this is all about. Now the political substitute, number two. To develop an omnipresent, virtually omnipotent international police force. That's the UN. Asking our troops in the year 1993 at 29 Palms, California. 1,000 Marines were questioned. 40 questions. I got the copy. Well, a downloaded copy PDF. 40 questions, of which 5 are concerned. Would you wear the blue beret in the UN? Would you fire on American citizens? Would you respond to a commander of the UN administration? The responses they got were not favorable. No, we wouldn't. So that's why they brought the UN troops here already. Belgium, Russia, China, they're already here. Thanks to Carter and Clinton. See how it works? So an omnipresent international police force must be developed. And a national police force in America. I already talked about that many times. Made of former felons. 185,000. I may talk about that tomorrow. I've talked about it before. A national police force. It's not just Obama. It goes back to Billy Bob Clinton. Goes back to Hitler, called SS. Under political, you're going to love this one. Under political, substitute for function of war, was a established and recognized extraterrestrial menace. ET, UFOs, that's why they're pushing it. And that goes in line with the economic substitute by NASA. The two work together. How about that? That's what it's all about. Now, this sets you up for the fake disclosure. Well, actually, it's going to be real. And the day of declaration, when they announce publicly that UFOs and extraterrestrials, which are fallen angels, family, and demons, is what they are, and they're liars. So it all works out, not only functions of war, but also to set you up for the next alternate enemy after Islam is the extraterrestrial menace. John Dewey, in 1917, talked about that. Reagan, five times, one time in the UN, said the way to bring people together would be an outside threat from beyond. They all knew this was coming. Family, this was planned in the turn of the 20th century. And mentioned again in the 20th century in 1966. And here they put it to use. 1948, Roswell was the beginning of it. Here they established it. Political. Massive global environmental pollution. Well, there you go, Gore, cousin of Bush and Clinton and Romney. They're all cousins. They are cousins. And Kerry, they're all darn cousins of the Merovingian bloodline. Queen Elizabeth II, they're assigned because they're cousins of the royal blue bloodline family. Hillary, cousins. That's sick. They marry, intermarry each other. Queen Elizabeth II married her second cousin, Prince Philip, to keep it in the family. His three sisters were married to Nazis. Ratzinger, Pope, was a brown shirt Nazi. You all getting the idea? Massive global environmental pollution. Boy, they hit the ground running on that one. And last one of the political control was, and I use this frequently, fictitious alternate enemies. What does that mean? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hezbollah, white supremacist groups, KKK. Fictitious alternate enemies that they create, they organize. And doesn't have to be just political groups. It can be pollution. It's an enemy to us all. All of us. Pollution is going to kill us all. So we've got to form together or something or whatever. And we're going to fight pollution. We're going to, you see? So get your kids out there and start collecting plastic bottles or we're all going to die. Stop breathing so much. Your CO2 is going to kill us all. Hold your breath 10 seconds every day. It'll make us live. You got the point. That's how they do it. Fictitious alternate enemies they create. Now, that's economic and political. Now, number three, sociological control. Oh, this one, I can't wait for this one. Programs is generally derived from Peace Corps. Yeah, World Vision. What do they do with the money? It's not going where it should go. And it is a modern, sophisticated form of slavery. And the motivational function of it is intensified environmental pollution. It's all about control of people. They don't give a hoot about protecting the environment. And they're going to use the disclosure, the fallen angels, to fix the problem they've already set up to make them heroes. And they're going to be liars, and we're going to preach against them. That's what got to take us out. Now, the next one, under sociological control function, is, and I quote their own words, new religions or other mythologies. Any new religions come up? Scientology? Hello? Yeah, buddy. New religions coming out of the woodwork. You've got 41,000 Christian sects. S-E-C-T-S. I got trouble with that word. Sect. 41,000 different Christian sects. So if you think Christianity is a religion of God, well, you got to say which one of the 41,000. No. New religions to keep you all divided, keep you away from Jesus, using that philosophy nonsense in college, is worthless, that course. Everybody thinks, oh, this is very interesting. Oh, yeah, you got an A for the course. A for the what? This junk I wrote? That's making sense. When we understand that is smoke marijuana. Then you might make sense of it, but you can't when you're sober or whatever. Come on now. It's all nonsense. And your doggone sure don't understand it when drinking moonshine. Make you blind anyway. New religions or other mythologies they created along the way by design because of the Iron Mount Report. Even before that, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, the Charismatic Movement, Pentecostal Movement, was created by the Illuminati. Chuck Smith, these people, Lord have mercy on me. They're controlled through the Vatican, Jesuits. Now, this one, you know you're going to love. Sociological control function. Socially oriented blood games. Now, that one I had to chew on for a while. That's your mixed martial arts. That's your professional wrestling. Professional football. All these things where you get blood. We want blood. Does that sound familiar? And the combination forms of all that. That's where it's coming from. They have the names of professional wrestlers. The New World Order. The New Roman. It's control. It controls your children. It controls adults. Look at the mixed martial arts. We want more blood. We want now the women to fight each other. Yeah. No different than Rome back in the gladiator days. And everybody's falling in line with it. That's the purpose of mixed martial arts. Number four, ecological. A comprehensive program of applied eugenics. Transhumanism. Changing the wombs around to people's bodies. Artificial wombs. Medical. Eugenics. DNA manipulation. Taking three adults, making one baby out of three DNA. And that's already done. It's a done deal. And number five was cultural. There's no replacement institution offered for cultural. Scientifically, secondary requirements for space research, social welfare, and eugenics programs mixed together and brainstormed. Family, they have been successful at keeping you busy. And TV keeps it going. Beauty pageants for adults, children, and toddlers. Y'all getting the idea here? This is all part of functions of war. Substitute functions of war to keep you busy till they can come up the next war. It's all canned. It's designed. Publicized. Hollywood, TV, news, everything. But they lose because Jesus Christ is coming back. And the supernatural will be defeated on a supernatural level. There's nothing they can do. So it's up to you to to accept Jesus as your Savior because they can't do anything to change what's going to happen. They're trying, as you can tell, awful hard, but they will fail. This is why what I bring to the air is to show you how they operate and to show you how they're going to fail beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because the created can never defeat the Creator. But I want to point out to you what they're trying to do to keep you busy, keep your mind tied up. Control your generals, control your presidents, control your legislators, control your scientists, control your educators in this system. They think they're going to win. They cannot. This is by pride, by ego, by their religion of evil that you don't even know about. This is what's ruling the world today for the time period. When you see through this, then everything else just goes by the wayside and you see what's important, and that's God. That's Jesus Christ. Not just a higher power, but Jesus. And you say the word Jesus. When you can say the word Jesus Christ, I'll love you. Jesus Christ, I'll follow you. You're on the way. But if you're not, you can't say the word Jesus Christ. It won't come out of your mouth. If you can't say the name Jesus Christ, you better start worrying. If you can do things and it not bother you, that's not right, Freemasons, and doesn't bother you, you justify it, you better start worrying. You're being rewarded wealthy, and you do the things you do, you better start worrying where you're getting your funding from. Because you're on your way to hell. Because once you give your life to Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes in, man, your whole life changes, buddy. Oh, what happened to the time? I'm going to continue this tomorrow. Oh, I got some things to tell you tomorrow. I sure do. And it just kind of dovetails what I talked about today. Just kind of worked out that way, y'all. My radio broadcasts are also played up at highpointradio.net. Graciously, randomly, he plays my broadcast. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, who's the owner of highpointradio.net. He has towers in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he just plays my broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis. Sponsors are there listed on his website, highpointradio.net. So if you live in those three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, find out the sponsors if you can use them. Or help him, give him donations to help him with his towers. That's where you do need donations. I don't get anything for I get nothing for nothing, except he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And I went from 150 about the first week that I started the Facebook, and now I'm at 6,000 likes or followers or whatever you want to call it. I still haven't figured these things out. I'm just one of those baby boomers. Just, you know, I get along with technology a little bit. That's just the way it is, man. I have trouble uploading videos on YouTube. I mean, you know, but I know what I'm talking about and everything else. Electronics? No. I struggle. But in any case, this I do know. It's about the New World Order. Who's behind it and what they're up to. I do know that. Family, whoa, snuck up on me big time. Y'all have a good night, and tonight, Bible study. I'll go back into the physics of demonology and how to defeat those little suckers. And 8 to 9 tonight, Bible study. Defeat of the enemy. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, yep, hit the ground running. And go back over what we talked about today and see if there's any loose ends I need to tie up. Or clarify, because today I just jumped into it. I hadn't even planned this today, but just kind of worked out that way. That works. So y'all have a good night, and God bless you all. This is your watchman. My name is Thomas Campbell, and I'm signing off. Good night and God bless.
The guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.